So you know I've been baking bread.
Yes.
Today I decided I'm going to try out different styles of bread. So it's like A-B testing for bread.
A-B testing for bread.
And after I get everything out of the oven tonight, the whole countertop is covered in bread. I don't even know what I'm going to do with anymore.
Start handing out to neighbors. Maybe you can give it out at Halloween next year. Don't go to that guy's house. They hand out bread. Yeah, you can start like a bread box type thing. It's like Birch Box, but for bread.
Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and digital patient engagement strategies for hospitals, healthcare systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into a variety of topics on the digital tools, solutions, strategies, and processes that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information and have fun along the way. And now, here are your hosts, Reed Smith and Chris Boyer.
All right, welcome to episode number 113 of Touchpoint. Over on the other side of the microphone, that's Chris Boyer. I am Reed Smith. Thanks for joining us for another week.
Hello, Reed. You're calling in from a different place today. You're not down in Texas.
Not in Texas. It's colder here. I'm in Chicago. I'll be here about 24 hours.
You're a little bit closer to me, so you're getting a taste of our weather here.
That's right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, for subscribing, for checking out even the new shows on the network. Again, that's over at touchpoint.health, and we certainly appreciate all the support. So we're going to talk about social media management systems today. Before we get too far into that and actually what that even is it technology or not? Let's take a brief pause and hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Using powerful AI-driven algorithms, Loyal's Guide helps patients along every step of their journey, from choosing a doctor and finding the nearest location to signing up for an event or clinical trial. Whether you are using Guide's chatbot, live chat, or the powerful combination of both, Loyal's engaging platform integrates seamlessly into your system, maximizes efficiency, and improves patients' digital experience. To learn more or schedule a demo, visit them online at loyalhealth.com/demo. That is loyalhealth.com/demo.
Let's talk about social media management systems. But before we get into them specifically, I want to stop a second because I get really confused. There's a lot of different types of social media software that's out there. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes get them jumbled in my head a little bit. So maybe we could talk about the different types of social media software that are out there before we get into the specific one. Help me understand, how do we categorize all these different things that are out there to help us with social media?
Well, and two, I think obviously we're recording this. This could all change tomorrow, right?
Sure.
But there are some basic categories, and Convince and Convert, which is the blog or site by Jay Bear, kind of had a nice breakdown that went through some of these different categories. Now, again, a lot of acquisitions and mergers and things like that don't exactly line up anymore. I think one of the more common ones that we saw early on was listening, piece of listening software, so, you know, social media monitoring, if you will. And back in the day, you know, the one that I think was kind of the leader, it was Radian 6 that then got acquired by Salesforce. Is that right? Is that where that went?
That's exactly right. So social listening, is this where you put in a bunch of different kinds of keywords and your brand names to see when your company is being mentioned in that conversation? Is that what that is?
Yeah, you know, it's much like you would do, you know, media monitoring in the traditional, you know, kind of PR world. It's, you know, what chatter's out there, what's being said, you know, those types of things. So, I mean, you're literally just listening. Stuff's coming in. There's no proactive piece of that.
That makes sense to me. But the proactive piece then, that's, I guess, what you call like social conversational software. At least that's what Jay calls it. That's what we're going to be talking a lot about today, which is the social media management systems and media engagement software, right?
Right. You know, again, some of the bigger, higher price tagged versions were things like Sprinklr and Spreadfast. With Spreadfast, just I believe in Lithium, I've actually become one. But you know, we've had some more of the freemium and lesser expensive stuff like Sprout or, you know, Argyle was one back in the day that I can remember. Hootsuite has a version that kind of falls kind of in this category.
So this is the one where you can actually respond to people through this platform on all your different social channels, where you can actually have your Facebook, your Twitter, whatever, come into this one platform, and you could respond to it through this platform. And that gives you this, the ability to kind of measure things, et cetera. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit more later. What about social media marketing software? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I think this is kind of the evolution, right? Where when these platforms went from just somewhere that we hung out and sent tweets out and posted on Facebook to actually being able to run ads, that created this additional component. Again, I would say a lot of that is probably still within, especially these days, you know, it's hard to divorce that conversation software and the marketing software. Back to Salesforce, there was, you know, they bought Radian 6, but they also bought one called Buddy Media that was back in the day that kind of allowed for being able to place and manage, you know, actual paid efforts.
It does go hand in hand, kind of like organic and paid goes hand in hand nowadays. You're responding to people, but then you also can place your ads, and that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so some of the larger softwares are now doing both social media management as well as social media marketing. But then there's also another category, which is social analytics software.
Quite honestly, I mean, I guess you could technically get away with saying, you know, Google Analytics or most of your web-based or historical web-focused analytic software platforms probably now take into account this to some degree. But, you know, there's been ones that we've used through the years, and they may be more platform-specific. Like I remember one that I've used a time or two called Keyhole that was very specific to Twitter. Now, they may have added some stuff since, but it was a way to go in, plug in some keywords, plug in some handles, do some things like that and really understand not necessarily what was being said, although there was a little bit of that. So this is kind of where it overlaps with the listening piece a little bit, but also, you know, the reach. In healthcare, we've turned to the simpler hashtag project. And that's been one where, you know, you could go in and plug in a conference hashtag or, you know, one of these other kind of industry hashtags like the healthcare leader or the healthcare marketing one or even some of the patient communities and see, well, who are the top influencers and how many times stuff has been tweeted out, how many people did it reach, you know, some of those types of things.
Well, now you mentioned influencers, and I guess there's a whole nother category that Jay calls the social influencer software. That's like trying to find those participants that are the influencers so you can actually target them, I suppose.
What we've seen historically, some of these platforms were built around that influencer space, clout, and, you know, and some of those types of things that I think are somewhat defunct at this point. But there are ways that obviously it's who's got the credibility around a particular topic.
And who to reach out to, who to engage, etc. As we're seeing all of these different categories of social type of softwares that are out there, we're noticing too that there's a collusion, right? They're starting to get together. There's just like within marketing, within hospitals, there's a blurring of the lines now. And many of these social media software categories are starting to do more, like two or more of these things, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I think you'll continue to see that, right? I mean, and the biggest example of that probably, or the most prominent example maybe, is Salesforce, right? So they've taken what historically they've had, which is CRM and then marketing automation and some of these technologies, and they've brought in these different components like the listening tools and some of those types of things. And yeah, I think we'll continue to see more of that.
I know the topic of today is social media management systems. And that in and of itself gets a little bit confusing, but I think it's probably one of the most critical things that if you're working at social media or you have a team that's working on social media in your organization, that you need to really start looking at a certain point in time. You can't manage everything directly natively within the channels now, can you?
It's just not efficient. And I think too, if you think about a social media management system, probably 9 times out of 10, when people say that, they're talking about the actual technology, like what platform should I buy, you know, or something like that. But I mean, don't you feel like there's probably a process or a philosophical piece to all of this?
Yeah. It's kind of like when you say CRM, a lot of people think of the technology, but to me, I think CRM is a strategy. Yeah, there is a strategy around social media management and a whole process that's involved, because in many organizations, it's not just your social media team. I'm starting to see in different organizations where you're having people that don't do social media all the time suddenly be part of the response process or the management process. It could be patient relations. It could be the call center. It could be a variety of different departments that they're not sitting there like community managing social media anymore. They're just involved somehow in the process.
Yeah, because I think social media is not just a marketing thing or a communications thing. It's also the customer service side of the equation. Sometimes that recruitment piece, you know, or HR piece kind of falls outside of the communications realm. So, I mean, that's another use case, right? And even internal communications sometimes is held out as a little bit different than just kind of that traditional MarCom department. So there's other stakeholders, if you will. And quite honestly, too, you know, from an online reputation management standpoint, you know, it's hard to see where some of this starts and stops as well, because this is obviously the destination for a lot of those comments and reviews and rankings and things like that. And other people within the organization need to know or need to hear about that or capture that information or document it or aggregate it or whatever.
So if I am an organization that is thinking about a social media management system and really trying to figure out which one to choose, maybe you and I could talk about some of the ways they could decide on the right type of application.
I want to be real clear up front that we're not, if you're hoping we land on like you should buy this particular platform at some point in this episode, that's probably not going to happen. Now, I mean, obviously, I've used an awful lot of them through the years, but there are even native components to these platforms, right? Like the Facebook Business Manager, the ad piece part of Facebook, and some of those. And so, we don't want to get into the nuances of some of that. I just think this is back to that philosophical side of the equation. It's like, how do you know when you need it and what do you need and some of those types of things? And so I think really the first thing that comes to mind is what gaps exist now? Is there a pain point of some sort?
It could be that you only have a couple of people that have access to these tools, or maybe it could be the gap could be that they're diversely distributed, and so maybe they don't have a centralized system. It may be that you have social media being managed by different people in your organization, and that could be a gap that you look at, right?
Yeah, and it could be just, you've kind of mentioned this a little bit, but just a bandwidth issue. Like we have a person. We need them doing more than just this one thing. You know, maybe it's not even a full-time role. We need a way to better spend our time or manage our time. And I think second on the list is, is there a process in place to maximize adding another piece of technology? So is this one of those things where you're just going to buy something and 6 months from now, it's like, shoot, we still have not propped that thing up, at least not super effectively. Or all of a sudden you look at them, it's time to renew again. It's like, did we get that? Was that? And that's true for any technology, not just a social media management system. But, do you have a process in place or do you have a department or organization that's going to be able to take this and really be able to run with it and maximize and get the value out of what it is that you're buying?
There's nothing worse than going through and looking at technology that you've purchased with good intent to use and you just never actually used it. And usually you figure that out at contract renewal time. So,
right.
Another thing is what would I gain by adding a social media management system? They may have some new features, some new capabilities that maybe you didn't have access to. Managing things manually as opposed to a system, there may be some added benefits around that. And it could be simply like you're aggregating all your content together so you get a bird's eye view. Maybe you could start to categorize your responses and the way you're managing and it gives you some new insights. But that's a new gain.
A big piece of social media, obviously, is customer service. Do you have the ability to have additional roles within the tool and can you assign things to people? And you know what I mean? I mean, is there a way from like a customer service perspective that this makes things better?
And related to that is like, what other technologies do you have? Maybe you have technologies that are doing some social media management that you have to consider if you start to adopt this. Maybe some of those will go away with this new system or a new process. Maybe there's ways you can eliminate the technology or ways that you can link them together to make them additive.
Or if you need them to be additive, if you need that interoperability, you know, making sure that what you're picking can accomplish that. And then finally, you know, a fifth point I think you need to take into account is where are you participating online and what do you need the technology to do? So I know early on, this is probably a bigger deal than it is now, but understanding that like, oh, this one can do the ads in Facebook, but I can't place ads in this other platform. You know, understanding here's where we're participating online. Will this tool adequately allow us to continue to function in those spaces? Because what you don't want to do is buy a piece of technology, but then still have to go do this other thing outside of this system that you've put in place. And like we heard Jackie say in last week's episode, I think this is another really great point, which is everybody gives great demos and great pitches and all those types of things. And so how do you make sure that they're working for you and you're not kind of on the reactive side of that, which is you're trying to figure out how to integrate their product versus them trying to figure out how to integrate their product, right?
And so I think that what would be really good, we've talked a lot about like how to make those decisions, but we haven't really gotten into those key benefits of social media management. But why don't we do that after the break? But first, let's hear a word from one of our sponsors.
Today's show is brought to you by Blue Spire, a full-service digital marketing agency focused on complex and highly regulated industries of healthcare, senior living, and financial services. Rapid changes in the healthcare industry are causing consumers to seek out trusted advice, demand more transparency and access to information and content. With over 30 years of healthcare experience, Blue Spire knows how to help you reach, communicate with, and gain trust from these consumers. We help you engage with the right content at every touch point, from the first symptom search to appointment scheduling through care management. Visit us at bluespiremarketing.com to learn how we can help you deliver relevant, engaging content through ever-changing touch points that matter.
Before the break, we talked a lot about some things to consider if you're going down this path or some questions to ask yourself. And so now really the benefit of the technology itself is the whole point that you're buying this thing. Some of the key benefits, found a great article here from Hootsuite. Some of the great benefits are obviously a time saver, and it's streamlining a particular process.
Having managed social media through the native channels and then finally adopting a sort of a social media management software, it does an incredible job of streamlining processes. Imagine in one console that you have to log into, you can get your Facebook posts, you can get your Twitter, you can get access to Instagram in some cases. It's just incredibly time-saving and really aligns all your social media content into one channel. And it makes it so much easier for a person that's there to respond to those.
Secondly, obviously, this is something most people are doing at this point, but to pre-plan and schedule content, you can do that, I think, natively through most all the platforms now. But again, to be able to go into one place and do that and even see, some of these platforms even have the ability to look at your content like a calendar type fashion or something like that. For those of us like myself that are very visual in nature, That is helpful to be able to visually look at a week or a month and see where gaps may exist, or you know, you may want to be able to move some stuff around, but being able to schedule content is obviously a big one.
You know what, another additive piece of this is being able to pause that content if need be. And I've seen this happen many times, right? Something happens, some kind of disaster, some kind of emergency, being able to go in from this one system and be able to pause everything while you're responding to some kind of crisis. That's also critical because there's nothing more detrimental to your social media brand than seeming tone deaf because you have this pre-scheduled content that you weren't able to stop.
Another one, we mentioned this a few minutes ago, but to be able to collaborate across teams or departments. So again, if you have a call center, if you have different folks in more clinical type roles that aren't participating in the content creation or execution piece, but maybe they're participating in the customer service side of the equation, like a risk manager or somebody, and even just in and amongst the marketing communications team.
I think it's important too, as you look at this collaboration, that you also ensure that this is where it's not just the technology, but you have to have the process behind it. You need to develop some framework and guidelines about the appropriate way to respond to social media posts within these channels through the system. So that means it's a great opportunity for you to partner with the people at the call center and even the patient experience or patient relations people to really develop a standardized way that you're going to respond, talk about, like, if this conversation tends, you know, might go off the deep end, which it does a lot, how to manage that, how to mitigate that, et cetera. This collaboration really brings on a deeper conversation around just the overall tone, voice, approach towards managing your social.
Also, to listen and monitor social channels and mentions, opportunities for engagement, et cetera, being able to see that all in one place. You know, the monitoring thing is an interesting one because, you know, I've started seeing more and more where people who are irritated, upset, frustrated, whatever it may be, they're going to go post the same thing in a number of places. So if you have multiple Facebook pages, anyway, just being able to see all that in one place and realize that, like, oh, that is the same thing that I'm seeing in a number of places, again, is helpful kind of from that aggregation standpoint. Being able to log into one place that, you know, not you're just playing your content, but you can also monitor and those types of things.
You know, this is, shows you where there it's starting to kind of bleed into. We talked about social listening as a category. Social listening, social media monitoring, review response monitoring. What you're talking about is a nexus of all of those activities within one tool. And imagine, you know, the insight that you can have if you are doing that in more of a holistic way. I have seen that where people post everywhere, you know, the negative comment about you. And this is a great opportunity for engagement. Another one is having the system in place ensures that any kind of social media post, whatever it might be, gets timely replies from the right person within the organization. Here's the thing that I always worry about, right? Is that if you're responding to maybe a social complaint on social media, and maybe you're that person that's continuing to engage with you on social media, even after you said to them, here, you want to contact the patient relations team to manage this case, right? Or to manage your problem, that suddenly they may be giving different conversations. They may be giving different advice than what you're doing on social. Well, using a social media monitoring system allows you to provide that so that you're consistent. And also, so you don't have to maybe answer them two different ways by two different people in your organization.
And much like, you know, you're talking about, you know, replies and things like that, managing paid and organic efforts all in one place. So again, not having to log in and out of different platforms and different dashboards, being able to see that kind of all in one place is important.
This is sort of the thing that as social media becomes more and more paid driven and less organic efficacy, that I start to wonder about is paid a medium that sometimes you have your marketers on the paid side and you have your social media community managers on the community management side. And they may be talking two different things. They may be responding two different ways. So this is tremendously important.
Absolutely, because sometimes, you know, you see a heightened level of engagement around paid efforts, and a lot of times those aren't good. So you need to be able to see kind of that all in one place and be able to respond appropriately.
You can also easily manage access to your social channels to ensure that only the approved information gets shared. So what that really leads to is workflow. So you can actually have it where you that little intern that always gets in trouble when you hear about it on social media, where they accidentally post the wrong information, right, or whatever. If you have a more senior level person, you can establish workflow to ensure that you can have many people respond, but that it gets approved by the right people and that the messaging is correct.
They've got a couple of points in here kind of around campaign management, finding leads, identifying leads, things like that. And so especially if you're running a lot of paid, you're running it to different, you know, landing pages and different things like that. There's different ways you can use some of this technology to make sense of all of that. And then ultimately, you know, and a lot of this is paid related, but some of it's not from the organic side. It's being able to see all those analytics and insights in one place without having to log in and out and in and out and in and out. What's the ROI of our efforts, even from a community standpoint, volume metrics, even some of the vanity metrics, being able to see all that in one place is really convenient.
Oh my gosh, and tremendously valuable to be able to run one report from one system that shows you all your social information, social analytics. Trust me, I've just recently been going through trying to pull data from each individual channel, and I'm just like, how many times do people want to describe what engagement means in different ways or return on, you know, or click or whatever?
Right.
Having it within one tool actually provides some continuity around your data dictionary. So
those are some of the benefits. I think, you know, again, when you're building out kind of that spec sheet, I think it's important to think about, you know, what features do you actually need? And so some of this is going to vary a little bit based on what it is that you're doing and what your department does. They've got some interesting kind of feature sets in here that I think we could talk through real quick on just what you would expect from a social media management system. Now, a lot of which we've talked about to this point as far as the consolidations of some of these vendors.
We've talked about platform integration, for example. You've got to consider a social media management system that integrates with the platforms that you're publishing your social content on. So what was a really big challenge up until just recently was the fact that, I told you I'd reference this later, Instagram. Instagram was on its own island. Even though Facebook bought it, you really couldn't use a social media management system software until last year. The reason why is because Instagram is very much visually driven, and it's definitely a mobile application. There's really no desktop version of that. But now I've seen some that what happens is it triggers a workflow that through your centralized platform, you could set up your post and then you hit publish through Instagram. And what happens is the social media person that publishes to Instagram gets a notification, opens it up, and publishes it from their mobile device directly. That's kind of cool. I mean, for a platform integration perspective.
Social media monitoring, listening, this is obviously a big one. You get a fair amount of notifications or can through some of the platforms natively and things like that. And that's not terribly, that's not bad, I wouldn't guess. But depending on the complexity and how much you're using of different platforms, like how many different Facebook pages you may have and some of the different platforms that maybe don't provide some of the direct notification type stuff, the monitoring listening piece, and even a way to kind of monitor topics or competitors, things like that.
Scheduling, we mentioned that before, right? About being able to pre-schedule things. Scheduling is tremendously important, and being able to schedule the way that you're used to scheduling, I would say, depending on your social media management software that you're looking at, there's different types of scheduling tools and systems. And if you're a really big content-driven organization and you're publishing quite frequently on social channels, you really want to take this into heavy consideration. How easy it is to set up and schedule, because chances are you've already, if you're not using one of these systems, you already have a pretty good established process. So make sure that this system supports that process.
And then obviously engagement, being able to participate on these channels, just because you see it within the channel or within the piece of technology, it's not really great then if you have to then go into that platform to engage somebody.
So many of these are kind of repeated in sort of the key benefits that we were talking about above. But here's the next one, right? Analytics. Making sure you got your analytics. It's tied to your analytics platforms. It provides you real-time analytics from your systems. And making sure that it doesn't, you know, add on that additive layer and maybe reinterpret the data or whatever. You want to get that native analytics within your system.
And again, like we mentioned before, be able to collaborate, whether that's interdepartmental or across the organization, being able to pass and assign tasks and different things like that to different people is potentially something that you could use depending on how you're set up.
And I've seen more in the seventh needed feature here is having a content library and sources for that content. Your social media management system could be an extension of your digital asset management tool, or it could be connected to your digital asset management tool. Or even better, it could be connected to maybe your website as being the source of that data and making sure that those connections are there. So you could pull in the photos, you could pull in that content, you could pull in the relevant information accordingly.
And that's a whole nother thing, a digital asset manager. And so I think some of these have kind of an abbreviated version of that. But that's probably another topic for another day, but that's a great point. Social media advertising, again, mentioned this earlier, but the ability to be able to handle all of your social media executions in one place.
Super helpful. Let's say you have your creative team creating those digital assets for those ads, then they can publish it within the tool. Then your social media content manager can then make sure that they're publishing and sequencing them accordingly the right way, and they just have access to that. I think the ninth and probably most important one is tool integration. And for me, really, when I think about tool integration, I think about how does it integrate with the rest of your marketing tech stack? So I mentioned website, that's one of them, but maybe you also have like Salesforce is a great example of this. Maybe you're building journeys through marketing automation through a CRM or something, and social media is a part of that journey. Well, you want to make sure that your tool is connected and that they all work together.
Tool integration is an interesting one because that can mean a million different things, obviously. Just taking into account the things that you have that you need working for you, kind of making a little mini RFP, even if you don't have to go through that process, I think is, or at least a spec sheet, and understanding what you needed to do, I think is really important.
Now, Reed, before we get to the interview, have you heard of this term social CRM?
Yeah. So how's that different?
So social CRM is used commonly as the referring to the management of communication between businesses and customers through social media platforms, but really a strategy around engagement, retention, satisfaction. It's almost like how you use CRM, but focused on social itself. Sounds a lot like a social media management system.
I mean, that's really what it is, right? I mean, it's the ability to be able to connect with and understand what we're doing and create a level of personalization and have data built in, rinse and repeat, kind of a thing, right?
So maybe this whole time, maybe social CRM is we're really good as an industry of coming up with these new terms. Maybe social CRM is just the new way to talk about a social media management system.
Well, let's just call it that. Let's just call it social CRM. I mean, because that's really what it is. I mean, I guess there's more execution or engagement maybe than what we historically have thought of as far as CRM is concerned, or we want to connect even our social media management system to our healthcare CRM.
Honestly, if you connect your CRM to your social media, isn't your CRM now just becoming a social CRM as well? But hey, you know what? I'm all about it. We're really good in this industry creating a new term. Let's just create that new term, social CRM, something new. We can make a new product and we'll sell it into the market with a new name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, realistically, that's what a lot of this stuff is. And as people like Spreadfast or some of these others have found something and they've determined there's a gap, right? They acquire, merge or whatever, with somebody else. So they have those components. So, I mean, that's really what it is.
Are you struggling with online reputation management? Binary Health Analytics provides healthcare systems, hospitals, and physician practices a complete view into managing patient feedback from online ratings and reviews, and especially surveys. It continuously mines feedback for sediment, uncovering timely and actionable insights. Its management tools help turn these insights into an opportunity to increase patient engagement, manage reputation, and improve patient experience. To learn more about Binary Health Analytics, visit Binary Fountain online at binaryfountain.com. That is binaryfountain.com.
All right, welcome back. It's now time for the Ask the Expert portion of the show, and fortunate today to have Michael Yoder. Michael is all things social media over at Spectrum Health up in the Grand Rapids area. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hopping on. I think this is an interesting subject, and the idea that social media was this great Wild West, and I guess maybe still is to some degree for some years, where people could go and do and create, and there was no quote unquote cost involved, right, other than just your own time.
Some of that's evolved. We've kind of seen more of a pay-for-play model in recent years. But is that true? I mean, is that kind of what you guys are seeing? I mean, if you're really going to be effective in some of these platforms, you're going to have to pay for those efforts at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. With organic reach being anywhere from 2 or 3% to maybe 6 or 8%, depends on the size of your audience on your page. Organic reach has shrunk drastically over the last couple of years. So I think it's pretty accurate to say that for pretty much most organizations, you know, Facebook pages, companies, that sort of thing, it's become primarily a pay-to-play space. If you want to reach out and even get to your own followers or fans, that seems to be the case.
You know, it's interesting because you know, in a PPC or the AdWords side of the equation, you're paying for keywords, right? Or, you know, phrases, if you will. But on the social media side, you're really competing for personas or actual people, which is a little bit of a different, you know, it's kind of two sides of the same coin, I guess, but it's a little bit different. So it ends up where now you're not competing for other people that are advertising about bariatric or weight loss surgery options, but you're competing with people that target is trying to also garner their attention. It's an interesting world we live in. But along those lines, I guess what that does ultimately is opens up promotion, messaging, whether it's awareness or growth type activities to people that aren't your fans. Because, I mean, we're targeting persona. I mean, you can, I guess, target just your fan base. But for most people who are running these campaigns, you know, it's putting this message in front of people that aren't your fans, followers, friends. Therefore, you get in this weird space of you may actually hear from people who aren't your fans, right?
Well, or, you know, you may hear from people that follow your brand or your organization who maybe had a less than optimal experience or the experience has fallen short of their expectations. So you're targeting a specific audience, and so that opens you up to not only positive feedback, but you could get some fairly negative feedback or feedback from people that weren't happy with their experience, or like you said, they may be fans of a competitor.
I guess that then brings us, you know, it pretty quickly moves away from this just being a paid effort to include things that we don't think about in that paid space, like community management. What does that really ultimately mean for folks that are running paid?
Yeah, with organic, I think it's probably not the best strategy, but you can be fairly passive in your community management with organic, right? But with paid, you have to be pretty strategic and you know, you really have to pay attention when you're doing paid social, simply because you're paying to reach this audience, and any of that feedback you get, you know, it can lead in a couple of different directions. I mean, you can reach advocates who help spread your message more effectively, or you could also reach your detractors in that space. Being even more alert and aware when you're monitoring those paid social campaigns is really important. I mean, the bar really needs to be raised in terms of community management.
One thing that I'm seeing, and maybe you can validate this for me, but when you're running organic, the community management tends to pretty much stay on message. So if you post something about a community event, any comments that end up there are about said community event or service line or, you know, whatever it is. When you're running paid, because you do reach some detractors, you get a lot of off-topic comments.
Oh, sure.
Right. They're just looking for that outlet, and they see your name pop up. They don't care what the post is about. You know, they're going to talk about their experience with this thing, or my grandmother came there 16 years ago, and here's what happened. What do you do with that? Or do you have recommendations for how you guys specifically look at things that are kind of off topic?
You know, there's a couple of different ways that, you know, you can respond. First of all, just simply making sure that you're monitoring and being aware so that if you do need to respond, you do so in a timely manner. I think timing is pretty important, not just what you say or do when you respond, but I think the timing of it is fairly important because you have some pretty specific expectations these days, depending on the channel and how quickly people anticipate or expect you to respond. So that can say something. There are going to be the trolls, if you will, that are just looking for an opportunity to put their message out there, like you said, whether it's on topic or off topic. And so, you know, in many respects, we're not going to respond or feed the trolls, if you will. But if it is something that, you know, there's an issue that needs to be dealt with, we certainly want to acknowledge that. So we try to do that pretty expeditiously. And then depending on the topic, in our case, due to potential privacy issues and things like that, we'll often try to move the conversation offline to a secure means of communication. So we'll acknowledge their comment and encourage them to engage with, you know, our patient relations team or our patient, you know, finance team, or we want to try to get them to someone that can help them deal with whatever that particular issue is.
And I want to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago, which is timing. What do you think the expectation is? And do business hours matter and weekends and things like that? What's your opinion on that?
You know, social media has become pretty ubiquitous and people just assume that they can send you a question pretty much any time and expect a response. You know, I think that the expectation varies by channel, and I don't know what the latest data is on the different channels, but Twitter, you know, they probably expect a reply fairly quickly, as opposed to a channel like LinkedIn, where I don't think the expectation is nearly the same as you would see on Twitter and probably on Facebook as well. You know, we see all kinds of comments and questions on our Facebook page pretty much any time. I don't think people look at social media in terms of, you know, business hours when it comes to messaging. You know, it's pretty much a 24/7 space.
What people are willing to ask via Facebook, for example, it still blows my mind.
Oh, I agree.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I could use some water. I mean, what? Like, how? You know, ask the nurse. You know, it's like they're talking to someone in person.
No, I agree. I mean, I have seen things that I don't really ever want to see, and I have been provided information that I really didn't want to know.
You know, it's funny because I tell people like this hasn't changed. Really, all technology does is amplify things in most cases. Because I can remember, it was just easier to avoid. Because I can remember when I was a marketing director, you know, 15 years ago at a hospital. Well, the only time I really had to concern myself with stuff like that was at like a community health fair. I'm standing in the booth for blood pressure checks while the nurse went and got her lunch from the food truck outside. And people would come back and be like, you know, hey, could you take a look? I'm like, whoa, hey, I'm a marketing guy. Like, I can't help you, nor do I want to see it.
We don't have doctors and nurses monitoring our social media. And it's almost as if people think they're talking to a doctor or a nurse or someone that can give them specific medical advice.
Do you think we need to get to that place? Do we need clinical people monitoring social or involved in community management?
I don't know how we could do that. you know, they're busy seeing patients. We do have our virtual medicine app that we have called MedNow, and they can, people can talk directly to a provider, you know, and schedule a virtual visit via their computer or their smartphone or whatever. But in terms of Facebook, we're certainly not there in terms of having providers monitor social.
And I don't know that anybody is. I wonder, though, maybe that's a good indication that it's more of a of an integration piece with telemedicine type services or something to that effect. But yeah, I just wonder with what people are asking, and we're going to get to a place where our hands can be forced to some degree. I don't know how else you do community management long term, because I do think more of it's going to become clinical in nature.
You end up as a marketing or social media person, you end up simply doing triage, right? I mean, sometimes, like you indicated earlier, sometimes it's as simple as saying, you need to call 911. Why are you messaging us on Facebook? Or get to the nearest ED or convenient care location, or, you know, why in the world are you stopping to message us on Facebook?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, all right. So going back to the you know, the comments on, you know, on the paid post and some of those types of things, not that the organic stuff can't play into this, but I think we're probably doing ourselves a disservice if we're just commenting or kind of doing the quote unquote community, you know, the active dialogue or community management, and we're not extracting any additional information from that. And so what is your thought around, what do we need to be doing with all of these comments, whether it's stuff that's happening on paid or organic or doesn't matter the platform? Where is really the value in how do we extract that?
Especially in paid, that's typically tied to a campaign or a specific effort, collecting that data and looking for trends over time. Not just from an ROI perspective, but if you're seeing a trend where people are complaining about, it could be a parking situation, or maybe there's additional training you need to provide for your staff because of a certain issue that's not being addressed adequately, that you can see once if you're collecting and tracking this data to be able to see those trends. Which is a piece of that community management. I mean, like you said, you shouldn't just be doing the community management. You should be analyzing what's taking place and seeing if there's some decisions that need to be made from whatever trends you're seeing. We've been able to do that here. You know, we can see that X percentages of these comments or concerns are in a given area. Well, then we need to go and try to address that. Is there a systemic issue that needs to be addressed?
I think this goes back, you know, Chris and I have talked on the podcast a number of times over the last couple of years about the blurring lines between marketing, communications, quality, ITNS, and even operations, right? And I think this is a good example of that. You know, historically, you know, patient experience, or you're talking about like training staff where there may be like more of an operational gap or issue, or, you know what, people that come in for, you know, digital mammography apparently don't like where they have to park, you know, and it, they, you know, they're having, they never can find a spot because we're trying to schedule them at this time of day. And so working with your operation folks, I think is really something interesting, and really a way that marketing continue to show value to the organization, not just, hey, a place that we do advertising. I think that's a great thought process for those that you know, are doing community management, reputation management even. What's something that folks can go do today?
Well, I think part of it is planning for this up front. Before you start the paid campaign, before you're investing your money in, you know, Facebook ads or YouTube ads or whatever it happens to be, I think you need to be strategic about it and plan for this. That to me can make a huge difference. If you're not currently part of that planning process early on, you need to be a part of that. looking at community management as a piece of the entire campaign that plays a pretty critical role. But then from a practical level, I mean, it depends on the tools that you're using. I mean, we're fortunate enough to be able to use Hootsuite Enterprise, and we use BrandWatch for our social listening platform. But I mean, you don't need the big enterprise tools to collect the data and put it in an Excel sheet and look for trends. I mean, you can do it that way too.
The pre-planning, you know, we always make the joke, like in video production, that everybody's like, I will fix it in post. And it's like, well, but it'd be easier if we just didn't do it in the first place than trying to fix it in post. And so it's the same thing, right? And it's, hey, if we're going to run this campaign, what are some logical questions people are going to have? It doesn't have to be all about positive or negative comments. It could be questions as well.
Even looking at who is your audience and how are they possibly going to respond? Is this an audience that's highly engaged in their care and making a lot of healthcare decisions? Are they going to be fairly passionate about this particular topic? Or is this a topic that, you know, we need to get people to pay more attention to? You know, then you can anticipate, if this is a highly engaged, passionate audience, then maybe you're going to anticipate some pretty strong opinions. Okay. But if it's more of a passive audience, then, you know, the response you're going to get and the types of comments that you can anticipate are going to be much different.
Absolutely. Well, he is Michael Yoder, all things social media for Spectrum Health. And hey, man, if people want to ask you more questions or maybe pick your brain on how you guys do certain things, what's the best way for them to reach out or connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. And a lot of other channels, but especially if people would like to engage and ask questions, I'd be happy to engage in some conversations, whether it's virtually or on the phone or whatever.
Well, awesome. And we'll make sure we include those links in the show notes as well. Michael, thanks for spending a few minutes today, and look forward to having you back on in the future.
All right. Thank you. It was my pleasure.
At HealthGrades, better health gets a head start. They help millions of consumers each month to find and schedule appointments with their provider of choice. With their scheduling solutions and advanced analytics applications, they partner with more than 500 hospitals across the country to cultivate new patient relationships, improve patient access, and build customer loyalty. To learn more, visit them online at healthgrades.com. That is healthgrades.com.
All right, and we're back. Special thanks again to Michael Yoder for spending a few minutes with us. Sounds like they certainly have quite the process in place, and I appreciate him coming on for a few minutes and chatting. Always love having folks from hospitals on that are practically doing the work that we talk about. So before we get to recommendations, in May, is HMPS in May? Is that
That's right? May 21st to the 23rd, the 24th Annual Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy Summit, right there in the town that you're in right now, Reed, which is Chicago.
Absolutely. So go check them out. Get registered. Was it healthcarestrategy.com, I believe, is the website. And tell them we sent you for sure.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And there's some other conferences and other things that are happening over the upcoming year. But if you hear of a conference or you're attending a conference and you're thinking, hey, wouldn't it be great to have one of the hosts from the Touchpoint Podcast Network there, maybe attending, maybe talking to some people there, reach out to us. Let us know. You know, we really find conferences valuable, a great way to get a pulse on what's going on. And by the way, if you don't know who the hosts are and you're not familiar with all the shows on the Touchpoint Media Network, why don't you just jump on out to touchpoint.health and take a look at all the shows that we have out there.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's a really good point. And we probably should have mentioned this previously or the last couple of weeks at least. But one of our other co-hosts, Greg Matthews, that hosts the show Data Point, is actually going to be at a conference. And so this is a really great example. It's the American Telemedicine Association's annual conference and expo. You can still register for it. It's coming up here pretty quick. April 14th through 16 down in New Orleans.
But if you go over and check out his feed, you'll notice he's done several special, I think there's five of them, special episodes for ATA attendees to check out. Would be cool. Would be great for anybody, obviously. But that's a great example of another conference that we've been fortunate to be involved in. So, all right. Well, what recommendation do you have for today?
Reed, I'm going to make a recommendation for an album from a band that I actually saw last night here in the Twin Cities.
All right.
And that's the band Weezer. Are you familiar with the band Weezer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love Weezer.
They've been around forever, right? And I'm not sure if you're familiar with one of the most recent albums that they came out with, the Teal album. Have you heard about the Teal album?
No.
It's their 12th studio album, and it's basically an album of covers.
Oh, wow.
You may have heard a little while ago that there was this online, it was actually a social media movement, to try to get Weezer to cover the song Africa by Toto.
Okay.
Well, they finally did, and they released it, and everybody was so psyched about it. And very quickly thereafter, they released an entire cover album of some of the covers that they love. So let me give you a little breakdown of the track listing. Of course, Africa by Toto is there. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears.
Okay.
Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, Eurythmics. They do a great cover of Take on Me by A-ha. Then they get into some other songs like Happy Together by the Turtles.
Oh, wow.
They do a great cover of Black Sabbath's Paranoid, if you remember that song.
Yeah.
They really rocked that one out. Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. And probably one of my favorites, they do a cover of TLC's No Scrubs.
Nice.
And it's just amazing. You got to listen to this album. So it's the Teal album. Wherever you're at, you can go if you could find it. They released it digitally on all the digital channels that are out there. And incidentally, they covered many of those songs yesterday in the concert. And it was just so awesome to see.
That's cool. Very good recommendation. I'm going to recommend an app. And it's one that I've just started kind of playing around with. But it's called Castro. And it's a podcast app. So I've historically used a couple of different ones, the kind of native Apple podcast app, and I think Overcast, maybe in Pocket Cast. So anyway, some different ones. Anyway, I happened across this one called Castro, because what I was running into was I've subscribed to so many podcasts, they just kind of build up, right? And I have a hard time kind of sorting through different episodes. Well, what Castro does is, it actually has an inbox within the app, like you need one more inbox. But in any case, there's an inbox. And so each time a show that you subscribe to releases a new episode, it lands in your inbox. Mm-hmm. Well, you can look at it, and by tapping on it, you can add it to your queue, and you can add it to the top or the bottom of the queue.
Huh.
Or you can just archive it. If you're like, ah, that one didn't sound terribly exciting, you can just archive it, and it just goes away. Well, so anyway, then you can go into your queue, and it has all the ones that you've added to your queue there, and you can actually drag them around in different orders and stuff like that. So anyway, I think it's going to be an interesting way to better kind of sort out the episodes that I want to listen to versus the ones I don't, because there are quite a few podcasts I subscribe to that, like This American Life is a good example. Like, I may read the description and go, that's not terribly exciting, you know, and so I'm probably not, it's not going to rise, like I'm not going to listen to it that week. And so then the next week's going to roll around, and now I've got two of them, you know, and now they're backing up. And so this is kind of a way I think that I'll be able to kind of manage what's in the queue versus the inbox and stuff like that. So anyway, really kind of cool. But yeah, it's called Castro.
That's awesome. And I have that same challenge. So this is great. I'm gonna definitely download that and try it out, Reed. Anything to manage all the different podcasts that are out there and be able to quickly get to the ones you want to listen to. And this is awesome. But for people listening in, I'm sure they also listen to the podcast, so they should go check it out.
It's free. I think there maybe is a paid version of it. And I'm not sure exactly the differences at this point. Again, I've just started kind of trying it out on this trip to see kind of how it goes. But so far, so good. All right, well, there you go. There's another episode in the books, Touchpoint 113. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, telling a friend. We certainly appreciate the support. We'd love to hear from you online. Track us out on LinkedIn, Twitter, and all the other great places that you can find us. And for Chris Boyer, I'm Reed Smith, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Touchpoint Media production. To learn more about this show and others like it, please visit us online at touchpoint.health.